This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's a big Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Max Power producing for us here on the program today. And we have a big show for you on a Tuesday. We'll get to our regular Tuesday business. Our Royals insider, our chief insider, they both join the program today. Royals, Mike Gillespie, it's perfect timing because we get, we get a post-mortem on a Monday. So we'll have Mike Gillespie help us go through some of what J.J. Piccolo and Matt Quatraro had to say. We'll get into that. We'll get into some Chiefs football, looking ahead to a Super Bowl rematch, one of the big games on the NFL schedule with Dan Israel. He is coming up in just a little bit as well, top of the next hour. We have some breaking news in the NFL as Jerry Jones is gone nuclear and is on a heater on local radio in Dallas. One of his favorite things to do. So we've got Max pulling some of that audio, and trust me, you'll want to hear it. If you're a Cowboys fan or a Cowboys hater, it is entertaining. So we'll have that for you coming up a little later in this hour as well. And then, you know, it's October 15th. I think the Royals distracted us a little bit from the fact that college basketball is right around the corner. We had AAC preseason rankings on Friday. Didn't have a chance to get to those. So we can get to that today. And then we'll get into the AP Top 25 released yesterday. And yes, KU is at the top. I don't think that was even the most interesting thing for us around here. So we'll get into that as well as we make our way through the show today. We'll give you some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets today. We'll give you some HTO today. And we have all kinds of good stuff for you. You can get in touch with the program on the IHOP hotline. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. That number is 869-1240. You can watch us and leave your comments, of course, on 12 News Connected, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. And you can leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app. If you're listening there, you can push the little microphone and leave us a message that way. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Good to see you today. We've got obviously a lot to get to on the show. It's a busy day. It's kind of our Kansas City day, at least that's the way it's been. Talking Royals, talking Chiefs with our insiders on Tuesdays. So looking forward to talking to Mike Gillespie, especially about what J.J. Piccolo and Matt Quatraro talked about yesterday. Some good insight on what probably will be their offseason plans. Looking forward to talking about that. You mentioned college basketball. There's just, you know, so much going on. Looking forward to jumping right in today.
It's so much going on. And a Monday night football game last night with Buffalo and the Jets that, you know, we've got a what a strange game, Tommy. It was as it was ugly. It was sloppy. It was windy. We had missed kicks. And I really thought that, you know, the Jets probably showed us with the coaching change that they may actually be able to climb back into this thing. Of course, their record's not good now, but I thought offensively that was the probably the best that they looked all year long. Aaron Rodgers, almost 300 yards. He had the interception that hurt him late. They were feeding Breece Hall. Look what happens when you feed Breece Hall. He had 23 total touches and 170 yards to show for it. You know, if Buffalo didn't gain as many yards, it was an ugly game. There's no doubt about that. It was just gross, right? It was it was not pretty to watch, but it was prettier to watch, I guess, from the Jets' perspective than we've seen, at least offensively. They looked like a better offense. They looked like it was an offense that could hang. A couple of missed field goals, that really hurt them, obviously. Buffalo wins the game, probably didn't look as good as I thought they would. They were efficient. They didn't have their running back, James Cook, and they still were able to move the ball around and do the things that they needed to do. But we'll see. I'm seeing headlines this morning about, you know, the Jets being the most disappointing team in football and all of these things. And you know, I think that's a bit of a stretch, Tommy, but it was a strange night because that was, to me, the best the Jets offense, really ugly and disappointing game for the Jets.
It really was. And that's unfortunate. And, you know, because going into this game, and I know that things haven't gone the way that the Jets have wanted it to go throughout the course of this season. I mean, that's, you know, stating the obvious there. But I really thought that coming off of what happened with Robert Saleh, that might galvanize the team a little bit. And then I remembered, then I realized, oh yeah, they've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And he's not the galvanizing type. Like, let's just call it for what it is. Aaron Rodgers is a lone wolf. Aaron Rodgers is the kind of guy who's going to go out there and he's going to try to do everything on his own. He's going to basically, I mean, he is the epitome of, in his mind, if you want something done right, go and do it yourself. But then when it doesn't go right, he's going to blame everybody else. Like, that's just kind of what the MO has been for Aaron Rodgers. So, I had forgotten about that part of it. I thought, okay, well, Robert Saleh's out. You know, clearly there was some disconnect there. And moving forward, that might actually bring the team together. And then, oh, yeah, wait, it's Aaron Rodgers. And that's not really the way that things go.
Yeah, you know, this game could have been a disaster, right? It could have been an absolute disaster. But I don't think that it was. And yeah, they didn't win, and it was sloppy and ugly, and they missed field goals. And as Rodgers mentioned, they were terrible in the red zone. He had that interception that was a tough one. They made too many mistakes, the penalties, but he kind of defended his guys in the penalties after the game. But I mean, at the base level for me, when I watched that game, I was like, oh, this is the offense we thought they could have with Aaron Rodgers. Right? It was efficient. It was moving the ball. The Bills aren't a bad defense. They could run the ball. They actually opened things up in the pass game. I would tell you this. I don't know if they'll be able to overcome the 2-4 start, but I do think that was the best by far we've seen out of this offense. And if they can figure out whatever's been going sideways on their defense, and they did lose Robert Saleh, and he's a defense guy, I think that they can still be the best version of themselves before this season is over. I don't know if they'll have enough room to eventually get into the postseason, but if they play offense like that and not like what we've seen out of the last 3 years, they've got a shot to at least reach the postseason. That was a, like, just look at it. They didn't mess around at running back. They fed their best player the ball. Breece Hall touched the ball a ton. Like, all of it was just like, if you're a Jets fan, you're like, okay, finally. You're also insanely frustrated that it was ugly and sloppy, sure, like it was, but at least you have this moment of like, okay, this is what the offense could look like if it's doing what it's supposed to do.
And you know, the best version of that offense is probably, more than likely, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a couple touchdowns, and he's going to throw a pick or multiple picks. And I know that, you know, the game was sealed last night on an INT right before the 2-minute warning that I don't know if you saw after the game, Rodgers threw Mike Williams under the bus. And basically just said that Mike Williams ran the wrong route, and that's why the interception happened. Yeah. There's probably some truth to that because Mike Williams
Well, you don't need to do it.
Hold on. I watched the play. I've watched it multiple times. Yeah, there's probably some truth to the fact that that wasn't the best route ever ran. That ball was way underthrown. And so I think both things can be true. There really wasn't any kind of acknowledgement on Rodgers' part that he threw that ball, you know, and underthrown. Like, that's part of it, right?
Sorry, breaking news. As you bring up Mike Williams, this is really hilarious timing. Apparently, Devontae Adams is headed to the Jets, according to the NFL Network. The Raiders and the Jets are working on a trade, like, right now.
I mean, that's
right
not shocking.
No, but that's, I guess it lends itself. Yeah, Mike Williams is in Aaron Rodgers' doghouse, and that's not going to work. I mean, that's just not. Like, Mike Williams had, he had a drop that was really bad. He had that play that was really bad. Like, that's, you're done. He's done with you, because Alan Lazard is still there, and they don't, you know, Garrett Wilson, Rodgers obviously likes Garrett Wilson. But Devontae Adams, okay, so let's reset it then. We've seen now, post Nathaniel Hackett, what the offense can look like. And again, I don't misunderstand. That was such a sloppy, ugly game from the Jets offensively, but it was so much better than anything we've seen from them in the last 3 years. Now you add Devontae Adams to that. And for the base fact that you know he and Aaron Rodgers work well together, I'm going to tell you, like, that's going to, the Jets may look back at this and say, God, do you remember that game against the Bills where we really should have beat them and it was so sloppy? Because if they don't make it, I would tell you this, by week, you know, 14, 15, I bet you this offense is humming if it's healthy. Like, they're going to look really good offensively by the end of this season. I just don't know if it's going to be enough now. And maybe it will, but if they can get Devontae Adams in there, and I guess it all comes to, well, it comes down to two things. Play calling, obviously, has been atrocious, and that was much better last night. Rodgers did not look bad. Rodgers looked pretty good to me, and he got crushed and was hopping. And there were times where I was like, he ain't getting up. And he kept getting up and he kept firing it in there. But I also thought that was the best, just like physically, that he looked this year too.
I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan, and I don't like his personality. I don't like the way that he carries himself. I don't like any of that. You know, so, but it's pretty clear that after what happened last night, what's happened this season, that he probably hopped on the phone and said, all right, we've got to do something. Like, I need Devontae Adams here, and I need him here yesterday. Adam Schefter, by the way, is reporting that it's a conditional third-round pick that will be headed back to Vegas that could turn into a second. That's interesting. That's an interesting value to me.
I think it's a good trade.
It's a fine trade. It's a fine trade for sure. Yeah. I think that there are probably a decent amount of teams that probably could have given that up to get Devontae Adams in their clubhouse. But ultimately, it's Rodgers wants his friend. And Rodgers has always wanted his friends. That's the way. I mean, he's going to be the most comfortable and the most confident with guys that are around him that he knows and that they like him. They trust him. It's really not worked well with him in the past. You know, look at how it's gone so far with the Jets when he's been surrounded by players that he doesn't have a level of comfortability with. So this makes a lot of sense on multiple levels.
And that goes back to the Packers, too. Like, if he didn't trust guys, it just didn't happen. And
this
will be interesting. I think if you're, you know, for us here, like, this is going to, I think, probably open the floodgates for Breece Hall. So that's good news. I love that trade for that reason. For the first time in his NFL career now, and we saw this last night, teams will not sell out to stop him. And I just sit here and think, watch what he can do now. Garrett Wilson's one of my favorite young players in the league. I don't know what this does to him, but probably helps him. It probably helps everybody. It's a no-brainer for the Jets. But now I wonder, like, okay, is it too late? The good news for them is the Dolphins are still banged up. I would tell you this, Tommy, and this, we may disagree on this, and we're spending more time on this than I wanted to, but obviously we have this breaking news to it. I would take the Jets over the Dolphins right now for the rest of the season. I think the Jets are a better team.
I would too. I mean, the Jets at least have a starting quarterback.
Tua's back, because Tua may be back. That's assuming Tua's back. I would take the Jets over the Dolphins right now.
I think it'd be pretty close if Tua is able to come back. With Tua not there, it's the Jets for sure.
But 100%. I mean, if assuming he could, because I think they have the same record. Assuming he comes back, I mean, like, and he's back right away and played, I would take the Jets there. It's going to be interesting, man. If they can figure out how to play defense again, remember, this is one of the better defenses. I don't know if you can plug and play Devontae Adams. You can at least plug and play him on deep balls, on go get him balls, right? I mean,
I think the Raiders probably win this trade, and it's not even about the Jets. I mean, it's going to be good for Rodgers to have his buddy there, yeah. Right? It's good for Devontae Adams to be out of Vegas. He didn't want to be there anyway. I mean, so like all of that's good. I think the big winner, honestly, it's the Raiders. They get a third round pick. If Adams does well, it can become a second round pick. And by the way, they're not paying any of Devontae Adams' salary moving forward. The Jets are assuming the balance in full.
That's for sure good.
So that's 1,000% good for the Raiders.
It was not a good decision to bring him in initially. I would say that. Not a bad one. Not an awful one, since they're not on the hook for the money, but not a good one because they gave up draft capital to get him. They get a little of that back, and they wash their hands of a situation that clearly wasn't working. So it's a no-brainer on their end, and it's a no-brainer on the Jets' end too, because the Jets have to be all in. That's why they fired Robert Saleh. That's why they brought in Aaron Rodgers. But they've done everything they've done, so why wouldn't you do this? Makes total sense. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Great golf, great restaurant this week, featuring a chef special of penne pasta with mussels, garlic wine sauce, shallots, parsley, and Parmesan cheese. Get in there, check it out, check out the facilities. Tommy and I, both members out there, we both love it. Our families love it. All kinds of different packages that you can try. It is probably different than what you're thinking if you've never thought about it. We appreciate their support of the show. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. When we come back, another big NFL story this morning, and we haven't even gotten to the things we had on the schedule yet because of a couple breaking news stories. The other breaking news story, a little self-inflicted, Jerry Jones, he's cranky. He gets mad at some of our sister station, I believe, in Dallas's host there for asking him hard questions. Well, we've got the audio for you. And I know Cowboys haters love to just pile on, so we'll give you that opportunity. What Jerry Jones said that has everybody talking here in the last 30 minutes or so. We'll have that for you next. Don't forget Mike Gillespie, our Royals insider, in for the post-mortem the Royals hosted yesterday. We have Dan Israel in to begin to look ahead at what should be one of the bigger NFL games. The NFL schedule this week is loaded, by the way. One of the big games, Chiefs-Niners, a Super Bowl rematch. We'll have it all for you. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We're coming right back.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jake Albrecht and Tommy Caster here. On your way into work and want to keep listening to us even after you park the car, you can do it with the Odyssey app and odyssey.com. Just download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. So we've got all kinds of breaking news coming at us here early in the show that we're trying to navigate. We will get into Royals talk in our next segment with Mike Gillespie, our Royals insider. We will get into Chiefs talk at the top of the next hour with our insider, Dan Israel. And we will get into college basketball talk in the next hour as we get a big day of news and things happening across the college basketball world on Monday and on Friday that we haven't gotten to either. But first, always entertaining, Jerry Jones gets on local radio there in Dallas and just has sort of spilled the beans over the years. Very yuck with some of the folks there. And sometimes they get on him and sometimes they don't. And Cowboys fans are at their wits' end right now. And I guess it's all bubbled up because Jerry didn't have a very happy birthday as the Cowboys were embarrassed this weekend. I think some Cowboy fans, like me, have told you this was coming all along. There's absolutely nothing that didn't foreshadow this exact thing happening this season, and it's happening, and they just paid Dak a bunch of money, and they haven't made any changes. They didn't do anything to the roster, and Jerry's sick of hearing about it. So, Tommy, set this up. Where is this coming from, and what exactly do we have in the can here?
Yeah, so this was from less than an hour ago from one of our sister stations in Dallas with Odyssey, 105.3 The Fan. In Dallas, Jerry goes on, does weekly radio interviews on The Fan in Dallas. And like you mentioned, a lot of times it's usually, you know, pretty cordial and they're talking and laughing and, you know, doing a bunch of different, you know, stuff. But clearly the hosts in Dallas and I'm guessing the entire DFW Metro not in a laughing mood after what happened on Sunday with the Cowboys. And really this question was posed more about the lack of changes in the offseason, as you alluded to. That's kind of where everything went off the rails in this interview with Jerry Jones. And I could try to describe it. We should just have Max play it because it's pretty good stuff.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
That is literally his job.
That's why we do what we do.
Just like it is your job to do a better job of trying to win football games. I'm not the level of Jerry hater as some people. I think from a business standpoint, he's probably the best that's ever done it. From a football standpoint, he's needed to step back a long time ago. He did to a small degree with the draft, and they have drafted incredibly well. The dude has never handled contracts well, though, and he continues to do that, and now they find themselves in this mess, and he's obviously defensive about it. It's wild. And he doesn't, honestly, I would say normally it's part of what's probably made him really good in business. He deflects that stuff and handles it well, but he's clearly sick of it. And he's clearly frustrated and he should be, but he absolutely needs to look in the mirror first at the reason the Cowboys have these problems. Like, I get it. It would be hard to make a change from Mike McCarthy after he wins 10, 11, 12 games a year, but it clearly wasn't working. it would be hard to move on from Dak Prescott. And I'm not even totally convinced that's the right thing. I probably wish they would have. But you at least have to do something to help him, right? Like all of these things, they're all self-inflicted. They're all self-inflicted. And for him to get defensive is pretty funny. And good. And I hope that those hosts didn't back down, and I doubt they did. And from what I know, he generally has a good relationship with all those people anyway. So it's probably not that big a deal, and it'll be water under the bridge at some point. But yeah, he's feeling it. He's hearing it, and it bubbles over. And if I was 82 years old and cranky, I might get a little defensive too, I guess, but it's his own fault.
I think that everything that is plaguing and ailing the Cowboys right now, it's all encapsulated in the tweet that the Cowboys sent out during the game on Sunday, showing the attendance at over 93,000 inside AT&T Stadium with the scoreboard blurred out. That encapsulates everything. I mentioned this going all the way back to training camp when Jerry went off on a tangent, you know, about how great he is and how great he, all the decisions that he's made and, you know, how everything is really good. And I'm like, you know what, at this point, Cowboys fans, the joke is on you because you guys continue to pay for the tickets. You guys continue to show up. You continue to support a team where the owner and the de facto general manager is doing nothing to make the team better. But yet you're still showing up in droves because you love the team. And I get that. I understand being a fan of a team. I'm not saying you shouldn't be a fan, but you're supporting it with your money. It's expensive to go to an NFL game these days, much less season tickets to a franchise like the Cowboys. Fans are continuing to show up. They're selling out season tickets. They're bringing in 93,000 fans to a mediocre team that's doing nothing to improve. And so it's like, let's celebrate the people that are there while we're getting our asses handed to us week in and week out. So I get the frustration for sure. And I think that it's being directed at the right person. I, you know, honestly, yeah, Mike McCarthy's not the answer. Dak Prescott's not the answer. We all know that. But this should be 1,000% directed on the shoulders of Jerry Jones because the buck stops with him. And I've got no issue with the questions that were being asked of him.
Yeah, I don't either. And look, it is all about Super Bowls because it's the Cowboys have been a successful franchise as these things go. I look at the last, I just pulled up real quick off the top of my head, the last 20 years, the most regular season, and you know, don't laugh at regular season wins, but the most regular season wins, because what my point is, it could be there are far worse franchises as far as winning goes. The Cowboys are eighth on that list. The Chiefs are there. If you went through and looked at how many teams have won Super Bowls in that same time, you know, most of these teams have like one over that stretch. The Colts are in there. I don't know if it's been that long since they got theirs. I mean, you look at it and there's a lot of teams, but in the NFL, we know that it's about Super Bowls, but there are also like, I mean, the Cowboys consistently win, just not win enough. And we know that that's the case in the NFL, right? You're always judged about Super Bowls. Well, would we say that Buffalo hasn't been on a successful run? No, they haven't gotten the Super Bowl win. But yeah, this has been an insanely successful run in their franchise's history. So, you know, Cowboys fans show up because they're almost never awful. Like they're almost never really bad. And so that's what keeps fans away.
They're
right?
Just it's usually like, I'm mediocre. Not, you know, so
well,
like
mediocre.
That's,
I mean, yeah. they've makes
that's
the,
a
they
step
make
up
the
from
playoffs
the basement,
almost,
I guess.
They make the playoffs almost every year. That's better than the basement. It is. I mean, I don't know how many times I'd have to look all this up, but that's, I mean, fans come back because the team's usually competitive. They're just not good enough. And it almost makes it more frustrating. If they were terrible, if they were the Browns, if they were whatever, it'd be way easier to be like, ah, I'm out. Like I'm washing my hands of that, but they're always just good enough. Right. And that's almost like Dak is like a microcosm of that. He's always just good enough to win a bunch of games and pile up stats and then fall flat in the playoffs. And that's where it gets so frustrating, I think, for fans and radio hosts in Dallas when you see an offseason like this and you just run that back. Right. That's the frustrating part. Yeah. We know the Cowboys are probably going to win more than half their games this year with this run back, but that's not going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl. And if there's not this perception that you're not doing everything you can to win the Super Bowl, that's where you get these frustrations boiling over like this. And this was an embarrassing offseason for Dallas. Embarrassing. Like they did nothing to make themselves better outside of the draft. And we knew that they weren't going to be good enough without changes anyway. They didn't change anything. This is what you get. And this is why people get so frustrated with Jerry. He stepped back from the draft. They're one of the best drafting teams in football. If he would just step back and let somebody handle these contracts, give himself a Brett Veach. I mean, it's with the resources they have, it could be so good, and it's just not. And that's why it gets so frustrating. And it's pretty funny to hear that contention because, you know, most of the time people are eating out of the palm of his hand. Not right now. They're not. Like he is. And it clearly is that way. We can touch back on this again in the second hour. Maybe we'll play that audio for you again. And joining us now is Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman. The season is over for the Royals. Glad to be here with you, Mike, as we come back here. It was a disappointing end, a little bittersweet, as you see the start of the ALCS last night. But enough time now where I think it's fine to look back appropriately and think about how remarkable the turnaround was. But I think the big fear, Mike, is that, well, what if that was just a one-off? I don't think that it is. We got a postmortem yesterday from J.J. Piccolo and Quatrero and everybody. What is the general vibe, do you think, right now? Is there anybody that matters that doesn't think they ought to be right back here again next year?
Well, if there's anybody out there that feels that way, I haven't run across them yet. And that goes from just the casual fans to those of us who follow these guys pretty closely, you know, on a daily basis. You know, once you do the kind of thing that they did this season, refine the roster a little bit, Nothing huge and drastic, and you're right back where you were, if not a little higher.
I agree. I guess let's start with, we'll get to a couple of things. At one question, and I don't know if this was asked yesterday, Waka is on a player option, right? So he could walk if he chooses. His will be interesting. He essentially put up the exact same numbers he's been putting up for the last couple of years. When I look at it in his contract, I feel like he could get more than that on the open market. What do you think his chances of coming back and not exercising his option are?
Well, it's really, I think, a couple of questions. I think that he's going to decline his option. If I were him, I would. You know, he's coming back. If he exercises the option, he's going to get a little over $16 million. He had a good season. He's probably worth more than that on the open market. How much is the question? It's pretty clear the Royals want him back. And I suspect that they'll do what they rarely do. I suspect they're going to give him a qualifying offer. And that qualifying offer is estimated to be a little over $21 million this year.
Okay. So then he would get a raise through the qualifying offer. So they have to get explain to us all in what we're talking through here is Michael Walker has what would be a player option in his contract. There's a player option and a team option for folks out there that don't really care about this stuff. Most of the time, a team option would give the Royals a chance to bring him back for his contract. A player option means he can turn it down. So your estimation is that he would turn that down, which is at what, $14 million? He turns that down. And then the Royals turn around and they'd have to make him a qualifying offer in order to get draft pick compensation for him. Teams don't always do that, but they would at 21. And then at 21, he'd probably take it, wouldn't he? Or would he want a longer contract than that?
Well, you know, I think if he really wants to come back, and there's a lot of speculation in the press that he does. I think what you'd see if he indeed comes back is for something more than the qualifying offer. I think he would want 2 or 3 years guaranteed. What the you know, annual average value of that is, who knows. But yeah, I don't see the Royals or him being particularly interested in him taking a qualifying offer and staying for 1 year and then let's go through this again next year. Because once he gets that qualifying offer, he can never get another one. That's off the table.
Whoa. From the Royals or from anyone?
Yeah, players can only receive a qualifying offer once, whether they take it or not. And, you know, if he goes to San Francisco, they can't give him one.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So we'll watch him because he would be a big part of it. I mean, I think a part of the strength, Mike, for them moving forward is if Waka comes back, to me, their rotation's set. I don't think they need to do anything in the rotation. I guess they can make a decision with Michael Lorenzen and trying to bring him back. But they've got Marsh to be their fifth starter again. Unless there's a discount starter like they got with Lugo and Waka again, then they're good in the rotation a little bit. They, you know, they still have Lynch, that they all of these things. It becomes to me more about the offense that they can then target in on. And I've said this all along since the trade deadline. The beauty of this thing for the Royals is what they need is probably the most affordable thing they can find in the open market, which is a veteran bat. Those guys always feel like they come at discounts by, you know, at the end, toward the end of free agency. The top end seems super heavy, and then it feels like there's discount bats every year all the way through.
Yeah, I agree. I think that what Pecola is going to do is put the emphasis this year on bats, whereas, you know, last winter it was on pitching. But I think the first thing he'll do is try to get Waka figured out. And I don't think that's going to last long.
Yeah.
Now, that'll have to last till at least the World Series is over, because nobody can sign anybody until then. And, you know, Waka has 5 days to exercise his option after the World Series ends. And the Royals have 5 days to make a qualifying offer, so it's kind of a squeeze. But if they can get him lined up and signed, then I think Pecola is going to shift immediately to bats. You know, there's a lot of big ones on the market, and like you say, there's some cheaper options.
Michael Espe, Kings of Kaufman, joining us here to go through what the Royals talked about yesterday, and it's just good timing in general to look ahead. The other thing I think that is advantageous for the Royals now, and I guess we don't know how real it is, but Harvey comes back, who was their most expensive acquisition at the deadline, and I think you probably feel good about the bullpen. I mean, at this point, I think they'd be crazy to move Bubich out of his role that he thrived in down the stretch. You know Ursic can handle being a closer. You have Harvey coming in. That gives you your back end, and there's enough arms there to fill out the middle. Now, it's not even do you have to go after any starting pitch. You don't have to go after any bullpen arms. That, again, makes it far more likely to me that they can go get impact, one or two impact bats.
Yeah, I think that's true. I look for them to look for maybe one more reliever. You know, not a lockdown big dollar guy, but somebody to just add a little more good feeling in the middle, toward the back end right there. It's, you know, it's not going to be, they're not going to bring Will Smith or somebody like that back. But yeah, I think you're spot on. Waka, maybe one reliever that doesn't break the bank, and then let's go get a bat or two, and pay some money for it, or, you know, do it in trade.
Do it in trade. It's not expensive. The bat, how much more expensive can a bat be? I guess before we get into the specifics of it, what kind of budget do you think? And I know they addressed this yesterday. How much money does Pecola have to go after a bat or two bats?
Well, right off the bat, and I'm trying to remember specifically, you know, part of Ryan O'Hearn's Hunter Dozier's contract is still on the books. It comes off at the end of this season.
Okay.
And there's another one in there. I can't remember who it is, but that's $20 million right there. And $20 million can get you a player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a good bat. And I think just listening to what Pecola said yesterday, I think, you know, that's $20 million bucks that John Sherman doesn't look at as, oh, look, I've got to spend this money. He's already spending it. And I think he's going to give Pecola some more money. You know, he really wants that stadium. And one way to get people on board is get them excited. I look for a bigger bat.
Yeah, we probably don't say it enough. Sherman deserves a ton of credit. We all, or at least we did, gave him grief for trying to sell people on this last week without putting his money where his mouth was. He did. They're back in the playoffs. Here we go again. So then we get into the specifics of it. It was interesting. We had pondered and wondered and challenged why not Bobby Witt Jr. in the leadoff spot for most of the first half of the season. And then we had JJ Pecola here And he basically told us Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't want to do that. And that was it. Like, that was the light bulb moment. Oh, okay. Well, that's why they're not going to do it. Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't want to do it. And that's a perfectly good reason. So if not him, they got to go find one. And they said that yesterday. That becomes a priority, to go find their leadoff hitter. I think, again, with $20 million, you can do that. I haven't looked at the free agent market. I don't know if you have, but I would imagine that becomes priority one, a leadoff hitting outfield bat, right? Like, it has to be. It's the biggest need to me.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I was just looking at the free agent market yesterday, and I still haven't found somebody who I would just say, oh, yeah, give this guy a lot of money and bring him in to hit leadoff. I think they'll find somebody they're comfortable with, perhaps somebody who's never done that before. But yeah, if they could get a leadoff hitter who's an outfielder, that takes care of two things they need with one signing or one trade. So I think that's a top level idea.
And yeah, there are some guys that are gonna. I mean, Juan Soto. Anthony Santander is a free agent. Like, there are some big ones, but I think as it goes outward, we'll see them have an opportunity to do that. So, if it's not, you know, how many bats would you like to see? How many different players, let me put it this way, in the starting lineup do you think this team needs to have? Ken on YouTube asks us now if Massey is a good candidate for leading off. I think Massey, to me, Ken, would be a good candidate to play second base, but I don't love him as the team's leadoff hitter. He was maybe the best of what they had this year, but it wasn't like a great leadoff. You need somebody that can get on base for those bats, and they just didn't have anybody getting on base that wasn't Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, or Salvi. So how many different guys do you think will be in that lineup next year versus what we saw this year? Massey's probably earned a chance to play next year, don't you think?
Oh yeah, Massey's set at second. There's a lot of fan discontent about Garcia at third. I think if they don't trade him, and I don't look for them to, I think he'll be at third opening day. Melendez is, you know. It's hard to figure MJ Melendez out, but what you can tell listening to the Royals all season is he's not going anywhere. They want to develop him. They're encouraged by his defensive improvement the last two seasons, and they really feel that they can get his bat going. Renfro will probably be back simply because he has a player option, and he'd be crazy not to exercise it. But I don't foresee him starting in right. I think somebody else will be in right field. Other than that, I look for the lineup to be pretty much the way it is, at least going into spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's is that enough in the lineup? I mean, I know Vinny Pasquantino got hurt, and had he not got hurt, this would have been a top half offensive lineup in the league. It would have been. But it feels like it's not quite enough. And that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's just a feel. Like, it felt like it needed more because it was so streaky, maybe as much as anything.
Yeah, I think it does need more. But what I keep hearing and what, you know, Pecola kind of confirmed yesterday is that they're happy or at least satisfied with the players they've got right now. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody gives him a, you know, a good trade deal for a third baseman, that Garcia is not going to become a utility player, which I think he'd be good at. I don't look for him to sign Alex Bregman. I think they won't spend that money. But I agree with you. It doesn't quite feel like this is the best they can do, but they seem pretty committed to it.
Yeah. I mean, it was good, and I think it's going to get better. And we'll see. There's a long off season ahead, Mike. We appreciate your insights here. We'll bring you back in as we make our way through it and see what you're hearing about who might be there and all the different things happening. I guess we'll try to enjoy the rest of the playoffs, but I think for people that follow this team and love this team, it's the countdown to April begins like right now. It is the buzz is back.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, their work will continue all through the offseason. We'll follow it. We'll get Mike back in here to help us navigate it. Mike, we appreciate it.
Glad to be with you as always. Thanks.
All right. There goes Mike Gillespie. We're going to take another quick break. When we return, we will come back with Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, to look ahead to one of the premier games of the NFL week, one of the premier games of the NFL season. And then we'll get into hour number two. We'll give you some HTO. We have all kinds of good stuff coming for you in hour number two. A lot of college basketball talk we haven't even had a chance to get to that we need to get to as well. Want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on Sports Daily and all across KFH. Here comes a break. On the other side, it's Dan Israel. We'll talk some Chiefs next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.